Murder on Sea, Pearl Nolan, Book 2. Written by Julie Wasmer and read by Jenna Russell.
Chapter 1. Tuesday, the 14th of December, 4 p.m. Any fisherman would have described the wind that day as blowing a hooly. The icy blast had whistled a direct northeasterly passage, straight off the Norwegian coast, arriving on Whitstable's shores at the very moment Pearl Nolan was stepping into its path. Closing her front door, she pulled her scarlet coat tighter to her body, burying her chin into its black velvet collar as she turned her back on Seaspray Cottage and hurried along Island Wall. Wearing a black Cossack-style fake fur hat and lace-up boots, Pearl looked much like a romantic Russian heroine, and certainly younger than her 39 years, with her dark hair falling across her shoulders and her light frame allowing the biting gusts to propel her along the street. Daylight had already faded as she ducked for cover in the lee of Kemp Alley, where a street lamp reflected against the stage door of the old playhouse, which was plastered with posters advertising the coming attraction of Puss in Boots. The sound of Pearl's own heels bounced off the alley walls as she headed for the lights of the high street. In her shoulder bag were the Christmas cards which she had forgotten to take with her to the restaurant that morning. Instead, they had been left behind on her kitchen table, even after she had sat up into the early hours making sure she had written every last one so as not to miss the final post before Christmas. Increasingly, it seemed that these short, bleak December days reflected a shortage of time itself. During the summer months, the clientele of the Whitstable Pearl consisted largely of tourists, DFLs mainly, the town's acronym for Down From Londoners, keen to sample the town's famous oysters. But at this time of year, Pearl's customers were generally high street locals looking for something more substantial. The menu today had featured a stargazy pie, a hot chili salmon flan, and a homemade lobster bisque served with croutons in a rouille sauce fired with espalette pepper. The dishes had satisfied a host of Christmas shoppers, but having closed the door on her restaurant for the day, Pearl had trekked home not to put her feet up, but to deal with her forgetfulness. On the high street, a sign helpfully directed Whitstable's visitors to the harbour in one direction and the station in the other. But Pearl ignored both and headed directly across the road to St. Alfred's, where the old church clock suddenly chimed the quarter hour. Pearl loved the sound of church bells and felt warmed, if only from the glow of festive lights. Whitstable's local council had abandoned responsibility for funding such non-essentials as seasonal decorations. Even the city of Canterbury, a 20-minute drive away and the seat of Anglican Christianity, was now starved of Christmas lights to celebrate the Nativity. But Whitstable's shopkeepers had characteristically risen to a challenge and used a final one-off municipal payment to provide a budget host of illuminated angels. The latter hovered above the main thoroughfare, heads bowed and hands clasped in prayer, seemingly the only figures in the busy high street to be reflecting on the true meaning of Christmas. Carolers' voices grew louder as Pearl crossed the road, but none belonged to members of the church choir, who would gather in a few days' time around the dressed tree on St. Alfred's front lawn. Nor were they the voices of churchgoers, who would assemble on Christmas Eve for midnight mass. Instead, Pearl noticed that a bunch of enterprising kids had parked themselves at the front of the playhouse, a school berry on the pavement, as they busked their own casual rendition of Silent Night. The plaintive lyrics found their way straight to Pearl's heart, reminding her of other Christmases from her childhood, as well as memories she would always treasure of her own child's wonder at a Christmas morning.